All right. We're still.
Fernando said it was too loud. Did you get some
trouble? I just turned it off.
Well, he was saying it was loud, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. We turned it off, so we resolved that problem.
What did you say?
Fernando just said it was too loud.
I say what I just say.
That's what
Ollie
said, too.
I'm going to go sit out on the porch.
All right. We're still studying exchanging gods is what we're doing, what we're about. Let's go to Galatians 2. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So we start out by believing in, sometime in the future, then after the believing in, then you are justified by the faith of. It's no longer faith in. And that's a critical issue. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, why is that?
Flesh can't make it.
Well, the purpose of the law is to kill. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And so, in those arenas, from the beginning, with Cain and Abel on, thousands, probably millions and millions of people saw the law and it killed them. And then they saw Christ. And the same is true now. We try, what's the most common law there is? The universal law, the universal religion is cause and effect. And it, the cause and effect ends up killing, not justifying.
Or breaking you to the point of repentance.
All right. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. And if you haven't found yourself to be a sinner, you're lying. Everybody see that a little bit?
Yeah.
That's why no one can say you have arrived. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. This is the most common thing that happens to a believer. It's almost universal. Maybe it is universal. You build again the things that you destroyed. You destroyed all the flesh in becoming a believer, but you didn't know that. So then you become a believer, and then you build again the things that you should have, that should be and were, in a way, destroyed. And then you start, and then it has to start all over again. Peace. Does anybody not build again the thing that they destroyed?
Are you talking about the seven mountains?
What?
Are you talking about the seven mountains, the things that we...
No, I'm just talking about the things that you go back to cause and effect. You go back to the world system. But now you put God's name on the world system. And that's not very smart to do. Amen? Everybody see that? All right. For I, through or by the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, you have to be dead to all law so that you can live by faith alone. I am crucified. This is the famous one. This is the most famous, the best one to describe how you change or exchange gods. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now you just died, right? You're crucified with Christ. Crucified means dead. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Why? Because Christ now is your new I. It's the only I. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's what we should be doing. What does it mean to live by the faith of the Son of God?
It's our guidance system.
Well, you're dead. You're gone.
Repent and baptize. Repent and baptize.
Right. The repentance comes every time you see that you've returned to yourself. You have some concern about self. And the moment self-awareness returns, then there's only one thing to do. Repent. All right. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So, everybody understand, that's the most pristine description of exchanging gods. I am crucified with Christ. Okay? Now, if you're not, I mean, just think, what happened? How many times during the day are you giving importance to something in the world? Maybe better, how many times are you not giving importance to the world? But I want to change gears a minute. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, That's a scoffer.
I'm not sure.
It means by your actions you're mocking Christ. By returning to the arm of your own understanding, you are mocking Christ. So you are a scoffer.
It sounds almost worse than being a blasphemer.
Walking after their own lusts. Now remember, what is lust?
Giving breath to anything in the world?
No, lust is wanting something.
Wanting something you don't have?
Or protecting something you do have. I assume by your silence everybody agrees. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Another translation, or maybe even it's the same, but it's critical, it's more clear, is where is the evidence of his presence? Since they see no evidence of his presence, then what happens? You automatically build again the things that you destroyed. You return to your own understanding in order to live. There's this great, the great famous scripture, the scripture that everybody reads at funerals, we all should read it at our funeral, which is hopefully today. The 23rd Psalm. It says something very simply. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Want what? Want anything. Can you hear the simplicity of that statement? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All right.
Ties in with Galatians 2:20.
Huh?
Ties in with Galatians 2:20. Helps explain what does it mean to be crucified with Christ, yet live, but not die, but him. But your position is to live in rest.
Right. You cease from your own labors.
It's also a mind at rest, or that's dead, but a mind that is, well, we do resurrect ourselves, but peaceful contemplation is awful. I do a lot of that.
All right. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep or died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the world as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, or towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, obviously, he's not talking about the whole world coming to repentance. He's talking about believers come to repentance. Now it gets interesting. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, you all know the story, but this bears repeating. This is where I believe I was more fortunate than most, in that my conversion experience was something happened to me 14 years before that, in which that silly bomb that I was monitoring in the South Pacific exploded. But it's hard for us to believe this, or even understand or see it or have a vision of it. The atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima was 20,000 kilotons. That means the explosion was equal to 20,000 tons of TNT. The explosion that I witnessed, I was somewhere between 35 and 50 miles. I get confused. I don't remember, but it was scheduled to be 3.7 million tons of equivalent of TNT. But it was a new technology. And so everything had to be perfect. There could be no wind and all that. And so it took 3 months before, it seems like every day you'd go and set up all the equipment and the countdown would begin, and then they stopped it because there was wind. It wasn't every day, but it seemed like that. But finally, the countdown got down to 10 seconds, and that I hadn't even put the glasses on. I got all, made sure everything was set, and it wasn't 3.7 megatons. It was 9.3 million tons of TNT. And in that experience, the island that I could see just barely way off in the distance dissolved as if it never existed. It didn't destroy it, it dissolved it as if it never existed. There were 16 ships around the island that all had different kinds of equipment in it. Not there were no people on it, fortunately, but it dissolved the ships. You got to hit. It's as if they never existed. And so this, when it talks about the heavens being on fire and it all being dissolved, that's what I saw. And then I saw it again in my conversion experience. But that's why this reading that we're doing right now is so important, because in my conversion experience, one of the things that happened was it was made clear to me that I would be alive when that happened. And let me read it again. The heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That new heaven and new earth is the New Jerusalem. Whereof, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That you may be found of him in peace, without spot. Nothing spotting the garment and blameless. The only way you can be blameless is be dead. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our own beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given him, hath written. And it goes on. But anyway, that description of the entire universe being dissolved as if it never existed before, it's hard to understand. There was never such a thing. Nobody even knew there were black holes. They were predicted. But Crystal is working at the Dallas Morning News, and she brought me a picture taken by a Hubble telescope of a black hole, and it was the first time that a picture of a black hole, it was, as far as I know, the first picture, and it just confirmed everything that I had seen at that hydrogen bomb explosion and everything I had seen at my conversion. They thought there was just one black hole, but now they've found thousands of black holes. And the universe is... And everything in the universe has to pass through that dot that's smaller than your eye can see. That's what's being described here. Let's go to Revelation 10 and we'll quit for today. Oh, I just want to go to one verse. Verse 6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things which therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. God in his wisdom will declare that time is no longer. The only thing that gives space dimension is time. And that's what this thing means of passing through that. Everything in the universe will have to pass through that dot that's smaller than your eye can see. Because when God takes time out of the universe, we can't even think about no time. It's not possible for the mind to conceive of it. But it's clear when the seventh angel sounds, there shall be time no longer. Now, judgment must first begin at the house of God. You are the house or the temple of God. You should live your life as if time were no longer. That's the preparation for this. And if time is no longer, you can give importance to nothing in time. Well, there's one more. Let's go to Colossians. Verse chapter 3. What happened to Jeff?
He just coughing.
He got taken. And we didn't. We're left behind. All right. If you then be risen with Christ, seek these things, or those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Amen? How do you set your affections? Only one way. You see the vanity of everything else, the emptiness of everything in the world system. No more ranking. Any comments or questions? Everybody understands perfectly.
Admit to that.
Huh?
Nope.
What don't you see? That's what I want you to talk about. What don't you agree with? I don't want anybody to agree and sit there like a bump on a log. I want you to, if something that's spoken has some response in you, then speak it. No?
I didn't say I don't agree with it. As far as understanding it, though, I'm still working on that.
What part don't you understand?
The practical part on how do you apply this stuff to your actual life.
You abandon yourself. You take no thought for your life. That's the first thing he said to the disciples. You get a divorce from yourself with no visiting privileges.
So you just respond to what life brings you then.
Right. There's no more planning. There's only, you never have anything to do.
Okay.
Does that communicate?
Well, that's getting there. Yeah.
Because
that's what you mean by dying to yourself. That's what you mean by...
No, I mean by dying to yourself, I mean you're dead. And if you're dead, then you can't use the things that you used to use anymore. You're living by faith alone. And you respond to each moment as it is. You don't run around and plan things to do. If you do, then you have to seek permission from God to go back to Egypt.
What do you mean by that? Seek permission.
Go to Isaiah 30. You never want to. You never want to see the first thing that a verse says is woe. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and return to the world. You walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. You go to strengthen yourselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion, etc., etc. It says that all over. That's not the only place, but that's the clearest. If you think that you have to go down to Egypt and take the lowest seat and ask God for permission,
What is meant by Egypt?
The world. Egypt, that's why the Passover happened. To take Egypt, to take the Jews out of the world. Egypt is always the type of the world. Babylon is always the universal religion, cause and effect. You come out of both of them. So you live by faith alone. Amen? Does that help a little bit?
Yes, it does.
Go to Hebrews 13 just a minute, real quick. No, not 13. 3. I knew it had a 3 in it somewhere. Verse 7. Everybody there? Except...
You said 13, verse 7?
3. I said 13, but I was wrong. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me or tested me, and tried to prove me in my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with them, with that generation. And they said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he swore that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And this place again, they shall enter into my rest. On and on and on. So the Sabbath day now no longer is a day of the week. The Sabbath is Jesus Christ. He is the rest. And you're gone. Amen. All right, take it, big guy.